You're listening to a podcast by Abide Church and Pastor Dan DeBell in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We pray this podcast helps you live, love, and look more like Jesus this week. Enjoy the message.
Today, we're starting a brand new teaching series, and it's called Family Benefits. Family Benefits. Imagine with me, if you will, that you just got a new job, and with this job, it requires a lot of travel. And so you're going to have to travel a lot, but one of the benefits of the new job that you got was that they want to give you a company vehicle and a company credit card to pay for all the gas. Sounds pretty good, right? But then in the meeting, you say, you know what? I just got a new bicycle, and I know I'm going to have to travel to other states and across the country, but man, this bicycle that I got's really nice. You know, I spent some money on it. And so I got this new bicycle, and I just would prefer not to have the company vehicle with the gas card. I will just ride my bicycle if that's okay. Does that sound foolish? Right? Yes, yes. You can say yes. It sounds foolish. That's dumb. We just be honest, it's dumb. Okay? But I'm convinced that this is what's happening in the spiritual realm with many believers. Scripture shows us that God has benefits offered to us when we become a part of his family. Yet I believe that there are many believers living under the level at which God is inviting them to. Not just someday in heaven, we're talking about there are benefits here, even on this earth, that he is inviting us to say, follow me, be a part of my family. Because he's a perfect and good heavenly father, he wants to look at you and say, you can have this. This is yours. This is yours as well. I want to give you some benefits here. It would be foolish to not accept all the benefits from a new job that we got. But how many times do we oftentimes act sometimes in a foolish way when it comes to the spiritual realm? We don't receive and don't anticipate, don't access all the benefits that are available to us through the scripture and through the family of God. And so we're going to read Psalm 103 for the next five, or I guess not counting today, four more weeks of this. We're going to go through Psalm 103, and I'm going to read you today, I'm going to read you through the first five verses here, and it shows us these five different benefits that are for us. And today we're going to talk about the first one. Let's look at it though. So Psalm 103, if you brought your Bible, that's where you can turn today. Psalm 103, starting in verse 1, says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Or simply, in our terms, do not forget. Do not forget all his benefits. And then he lists them. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't know about you, but all that sounds pretty good to me. Amen? Like, I want access to those things. But here's what we need to, before we get into talking about the very first benefit today, we have to look at context here. David is writing this. He's speaking to his own soul, and he's saying, do not forget all that God has for you. He's talking to himself, inward talk. Do not forget all that God has for you. Don't forget all the benefits that come with being in covenant with the living God. Do not forget it. And then David begins with, bless the Lord. Bless his holy name. Very strategic verbiage here, and here's why. David is more concerned about the giver of the benefits rather than the benefits themselves. And that's oftentimes where people miss the mark, is that they want the benefits, they'll pursue the benefits, but not be pursuing the living God. As we go through this series, we're not pursuing the benefits. We're pursuing the Lord. But we acknowledge the fact that as we pursue the Lord, he has good things for us. Amen? First one today is this. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. That's the title for today. And I have statements for you with each one of these. I am forgiven. Point number one is he forgives us inside and out. He forgives us inside and out. I love hearing all the pens click. We're a note-taking church. We're engaged. I love it. He forgives us inside and out. What really blesses me to see our elementary kids in here taking notes, because I can guarantee that our elementary kids at Abide Church, they're taking notes in the adult service, and I think they're probably more engaged with church than the majority of the Christians that are in church right now in the Tulsa area. You know what I'm saying? Like most adults aren't ready to take notes, but our kids are ready to hear from God. There's no junior Holy Spirit, by the way. So here we go. He forgives us inside and out. Psalm 103, I'm going to skip down a few verses to verse 10. Psalm 103, verse 10, it says this: He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward us who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Okay, so there's three things that we can look at here: sins, iniquities, transgressions. Sins, let me kind of break this down in the original language, what this would mean. And so bear with me here. I'm going to do a little bit of teaching. Okay, so sin is literally defined as missing the mark. So God has laid out in his word, in his design, this is how things are meant to operate. Anything outside of that is literally missing the mark. I've stepped out of what God's will. I've stepped away from what God has for me. I'm missing the mark. That is sin. That's the most common one that we understand. Whenever I mess up and I don't do what God's telling me to do, or I don't do what scripture says, that's sin. You've probably heard that before. Sin will drive a wedge, though, between and put separation between you and a loving heavenly Father. Sin is the first one. The second one, though, is iniquity. Iniquity. Now, as we read through the New King James Version, you may be saying, like, what exactly is iniquity? What does that mean? Iniquity is an inward motivation. Literally translated, it is an inward bent towards sin. It's an inward bent towards sin. So it is the heart behind sinful actions. It's an inward thing on the inside of me. Iniquity, it's an inward bent. Transgression is an outward action. It's an outward movement. Okay, transgress is where we get the word trespass. So think of physically hopping a fence, right? You're hunting and you shouldn't be crossing that fence, but you just need to go look for a little bit. And so you cross the fence. That's trespassing. You shouldn't do that. That's what transgression means. That's where we actually get the word trespass from. It's from the original word that's transgress. It is an action, an outward action that takes place. So iniquity is internal. It's an inward bent towards sinning. Transgression is the outward action. Jesus came to address both. He came to address both. Look at Matthew 5, verse 27 through 28. It says, "You have heard the commandment that says," this is Jesus talking, "you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." In his heart. You see, Jesus is coming, and he's coming to fulfill the law. And many times they look back at the old law, and it's like, well, as long as I do the right things on the outside, everything's fine. Jesus is coming to show, yes, however, there is also an inward something that needs to be addressed on the inside. That's an inward bent towards sinning that must be addressed. So we must be aware of the heart and the actions is what Jesus is showing us. So iniquity is an inward corrupt heart. Transgression is the outward action. And this is why scripture shows us, Jesus said, you must be born again. How do I get rid of that inward bent to sin, that inward motivation to sin? Scripture shows us, in fact, it prophesies that God would take out of you an old heart of stone and put in its place a new heart. Not talking about a physical heart, we're talking about a spiritual heart on the inside of you, your spirit. Because when we're born, we have this natural bent to sin. And all the parents said, yeah, we know, right? Because you don't have to teach your kid to steal or to be selfish or to lie about something, right? They might try to steal a toy from somebody else. It's in there. It's in our natural DNA. However, in scripture, in the benefits, there's freedom from that inward bent. That's why scripture says he would remove that heart of stone and give you a new heart in its place when you put your faith in Jesus. And with that comes help to walk and live the way God is designing you to, which is holy as he is holy. Okay, I'm throwing a lot at you here, but let me show you in another passage. Isaiah 53, 5. If you've been in church at all, you can quote this. But look at the verbiage. Now that we understand the difference between iniquity and transgression, look at the verbiage here. He was wounded. This is speaking of Jesus. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Interesting. Let's look at it. He was wounded, what's that? Outside his body. For our transgressions. What is that? An outward action. He was bruised. What is that? Inside, internal bleeding. for our iniquities. What is that? An internal bent towards sin. So what does Jesus do? What was his price paid on the cross? It covers all, inside and out. He was wounded outside for transgressions, outside action. He was bruised on the inside for iniquities, which is internal bleeding, internal harm. He covers it all. So he removes, it goes on to say what? He removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. That's what it says in Psalm 103. Why not north from south? Right? Well, eventually, if I go far enough north, I'm going to start going south. Right? Eventually, I'm going to find south because I'm going to go far enough north. However, east and from the west, I can go east. I can cross an ocean, still be going east. And I can find land on the other side, and I can still go east. And I can circle all the way back around, come back to where I started, I can still be going east but not find east. Does that make sense? It's a continual thing. I can continue, and why? What does it mean? It's infinite. When he separates it, east is from the west, it's an infinite thing. He has removed and completely done away with our transgressions, with our sins and iniquities. Here's an example for you. Imagine in heaven there's a whiteboard that has your name on it, okay? Every time that you sin, God goes to the whiteboard and he writes it up there, right? Some of you may say, Pastor Dan, my whiteboard is full. That's okay. You're not alone, okay? Every time you sin, he writes the sin on it. But when you ask for forgiveness, imagine erasing the whiteboard, right? What happens? When I erase the whiteboard, there's always a little bit left. I have a whiteboard calendar in my office. And every time, it doesn't matter how good the eraser is, every time I erase, there's always a little bit left. I can still see what I wrote. It's just smeared. I have to use a special special cleaner to get it back to looking brand new again. This is what happens. I have a whiteboard with my name on it. I sin. He writes the sin on it. He doesn't just erase it. He gets a special cleaner that removes it from the whiteboard and makes the whiteboard as brand new as it originally was. That special cleaner is the blood of Jesus. He takes it, applies it to the whiteboard, where you would never know that anything was ever written on there ever before. How good is our God? So this is the only way God can have a relationship with us, is that he's made a way to remove it completely from us, where there's no longer even a hint of it remaining inside or out. How good is our God? Let's continue. It gets better. Point number two is this. He chooses to not remember. What does it mean that I'm forgiven? Point number two is that he chooses to not remember. Isaiah 43, verse 25. This is God speaking. He says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I will not remember your sins. He blots out your transgressions. What is that? That's the whiteboard. He blots it out with what? The blood of Jesus. I will blot it out. It's fully removed. It's brand new again. And I will not remember your sins. I will not. I will not. That's interesting. That is God making a choice on your behalf. God is making a choice. He's exercising his will on your behalf. He is choosing to not remember. The New Living Translation says, I will never think of them again. I'll never think of them again. That's good news, y'all. Look at Hebrews 8:12. He says, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. I will never again remember their sins. I'm hammering that home because I want you to understand this. I'm going to drive it home in just a second. Remember, what does that mean? It means to bring to one's mind or to recall for a use. If I'm going to remember something, I'm recalling it for a use. Every Friday, my son Gavin, he's got a spelling test. And we study hard each week. We practice every night. And on Fridays, we say almost the same prayer every Friday. Lord, bring to remembrance. Help Gavin remember the things he studied. Help him remember. Why? We're calling back. Lord, help us remember what we've studied to put it to a use. But here's how good our God is. He chooses to not remember your sins and to not bring them up anymore. I will never think of them again. He chooses to not remember and to not bring them up anymore. However, you have a spiritual enemy, the devil. He will constantly bring them up, and he will remind you constantly of your past mistakes. Here's the good news today, though. This will help you identify the voice of God. This will help you identify the voice of the good shepherd. If you've asked for forgiveness, if you've repented, if you've changed your way, and you still keep being reminded of your past mistakes, that's the voice of your enemy, not the voice of your father. Let me say that again. If you've asked for forgiveness, if you've repented, if you've changed your ways, and you still keep being reminded of your past mistakes, that's the voice of your enemy, not the voice of your father. So Lord, help us hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. Amen. Lord, help us hear your voice. If God chooses to not remember, he chooses to not think about it again or to bring it up, we need to, as disciples, we need to be in the practice of not bringing up past mistakes once we've addressed it. Now, if there's something that I haven't come clean for, if there's something that I haven't apologized for, if there's something I haven't repented for, that needs to be brought up. That needs to be some light shone on it, however you want to phrase it, but it needs to be brought to the light, is what I'm trying to say. But if I've already addressed it, if I've apologized, if I've come clean, if I've repented, I don't need to be bringing that up in my own life. I need to let it go. It's a done deal according to Scripture. If it's done and it's over with for God, it needs to be over with for me. But hear me in this. This is what hurts so many marriages. This is what hurts so many marriages. There's a spouse that messes up. They repent. They say they're sorry. They make actions behind it to say, I've messed up. I'm going to get better. But the other spouse says, I forgive you. But then in a week or a month or 10 years later, they continue to bring up the thing that they said they forgave. That's not good. That's really not good. Here's why. When I do that, when I have a spouse who's asked for forgiveness, who's genuinely made drastic changes in their life to get better and to fix that issue, if I continue to bring it up weeks and months and years later, I sound more like the devil than I do like Jesus. That's what our spiritual enemy does. Now, here's the opposite side. A lot of people will abuse that. Well, you just need to be more like Jesus. I can act however I want, and I can do the same thing over and over and over and over again, and you need to be like Jesus and forgive me every time. Well, we better be careful going down that road because we're approaching some abuse. No. If I'm going to walk like Jesus, I need to repent so he can change my ways, so I can serve my spouse the way that Jesus would. Not in a way that guilt trips somebody else into forgiving me so I can live however I want and continue in unhealthy habits. No, God wants to set me free from that so I can repent and walk as he has called me to. So you see, for every mile of truth, there's 2 miles of ditches, right? Either I can get over here and I can constantly bring up somebody's past mistakes years later, or I can be in the other ditch and I can just do whatever I want, and you need to forgive me because that's what Jesus would do. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a balance to it. But I got to watch the words that I'm saying, because here's why. The grace of Jesus is not a pass to continue sinning. That's what culture would tell you nowadays. Well, it's just all covered under grace, and Jesus loves you. You do whatever you want. It's not a pass to continue sinning. That's not the grace of Jesus. The grace of Jesus is an invitation to go to a new level spiritually so that you can live righteously. It's an invitation to come out of the mess that you're in, out of the sin that you're in, be freed from it, and live a new life in Christ. That's the grace of Jesus. Most people won't talk about it that way, but that's exactly what it is. It is grace and truth. The truth will set you free from the thing that you needed grace for. You see what I'm saying? So this is how we operate in our marriages. When I extend grace, it's not a pass for me to continue sinning because my spouse has given me a bunch of grace. No, when the grace is extended and forgiveness is given, it's my job to say, you know what? I'm going to make changes to be better. I'm going to do whatever it takes to love God first and love my spouse unconditionally and serve them second, whatever it takes. And we wonder, though, why are so many marriages struggling? Well, it's because if we're aligning ourselves and we're acting more like the devil, speaking more like the devil than we are like Jesus, what do we think is going to happen? John 10:10 says, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have life abundantly. The enemy, the devil, he wants to steal your marriage, kill your marriage, and destroy your marriage. Don't align your words with him. Don't align your actions with him. Our Savior, Jesus said, align your words with me and your marriage will have life and you'll have life abundantly. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. My marriage will only be as good as the words I'm speaking over it. My marriage will only be as good as the words I'm speaking over it. If I'm constantly bashing my spouse, why would I expect God to bless my marriage? Spoiler, he won't. Okay? Sorry, it gets a little heavy in here sometimes, but there's encouraging things coming, okay? I'm helping some marriages today, I can promise you that. If my words aren't aligned with Jesus for my marriage, I'm inviting death into my marriage. Here's the pushback. A spouse will say, well, I'm not God. I can't just forget. I'm not God. Okay, God can forget. I'm not God. I can't just forget. Here's the spoiler. The Bible doesn't say that God forgets your sin. The Bible doesn't say that God forgets your sin. Hear me. There's a difference in choosing to not remember and forgetting. There's a difference in choosing to not remember and forgetting. Have you ever walked into a room and you get in there and you're like, oh, I came in here for something, but I don't know what I'm here for, right? You forgot, right? If you haven't done that, if you're maybe a young person, you will. It's coming, okay? It's going to sneak up on you so fast. You walk in, what am I doing here? Man, I came back here for something, and then as soon as you get back to where you came from, you remember, right? You forgot. That's forgetting. Our God, we forget, but our God chooses to not remember. We know this according to Scripture. He's omniscient, meaning that he has all knowledge. So if he has all knowledge, he cannot forget things. God's not sitting in heaven saying, oh man, I just forgot. You know, I totally missed their birthday this year. I totally forgot about that. I'd send them a little extra blessing, please. Yes, I forgot about. No, he's not doing that. But our God is so good that he can choose to not remember things. See how much better that is than forgetting? He says, I will choose to not think of it ever again. I will choose to not remember. That's the God that we serve. And I'm thankful for it. I am so thankful for it. Point number three is this. He releases us. He releases us. You guys doing okay? He releases us. This is huge. He releases us. Psalm 103, going back to verse 3, this is the first benefit listed. Who forgives, this is speaking of God, who forgives all your iniquities. Remember, he's talking to himself. He forgives all your iniquities. The word forgive means to release. It literally is as in releasing or canceling a debt. That's what we're talking about. He releases the debt. He releases it. He cancels it. He gets rid of it. God can forgive us. He can release us from the debt that we owed for our sin because Jesus paid it in full. That's the good news today. Amen? We can be released from the penalty that we deserve because Jesus said, I will pay for that. Release the debt. Release it. I'll pay for that. That's the good news. But the good news always, it just keeps getting better. Because here's the other part of the good news. God doesn't charge twice for the same sin. Last week we talked about God's a just judge. He's a holy judge. He's a righteous judge. He doesn't charge twice for the same sin. If he did, he would be unjust. If he did, he would be unrighteous. He could be convinced. He could be tilted. The scales could be tilted in favor of somebody else rather than somebody else. That's not it. No, he's just. The scales are always balanced because he paid for our sin. So I can have forgiveness. I can have access to the release of my debt, of my iniquities. It's in reach of all of us because of Jesus. And it's not just past stuff. It's not just today, but it's tomorrow when I mess up. I can say, Lord, I blew it again. I screwed up. I'm sorry. Lord, would you forgive me? Would you help me repent? Help me change my mind so I can change my ways and help me do what you're asking me to do. Help me be free from this. I can run to him now because I know that all of the guilt, the price has already been paid by somebody else. So now when I mess up, I don't have to be afraid to run to God. No, it'd be foolish not to run to him because he can't charge me twice. He won't do it. He said, my son has already paid. And when I come to my loving Heavenly Father and I say, Father, I messed up again. Jesus steps in and he says, we got that. We've covered that. I've paid for that. Look at the blood. I've paid for that. And now we can go free. That's the God that we serve. In John 20, verse 23, there's an interesting verse as Jesus talks with his disciples after he's been brought back to life. He says, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Interesting. Interesting. This gets quoted out of context abundantly, foolishly. This is not just for the disciples, this statement right here. This is not just for the apostles. This is not just about creating some priesthood that you got to go to some priest that's done all this stuff so that they, you can confess to them so they can forgive your sins. That's not what this is about. That's not what this verse is talking about. You can look it up in context. Please do this week. Look up some commentary, biblical commentary on it. Go to the Blue Letter Bible app, blueletterbible.com. You can look up all kinds of commentary on there. Go look it up and you'll understand what I'm saying. That's not what this is. In context, this is part of the 40 days after the resurrection when Jesus is giving out the Great Commission to his disciples. He's telling the apostles, telling his disciples, now go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell people that they can be forgiven. Tell people that they can be released of their sin. They can be released of it. Go, do that. Jesus is giving authority to his disciples to announce the forgiveness of sins as well as the forgiveness and the freedom from the guilt of the sin. He's saying, I give you the authority to go let people know they can be forgiven. He's telling his disciples, you tell them if they believe in me, they're forgiven. But you tell them if they don't believe, tell them that their sins are not forgiven. This is what Peter does, Acts 2.38. He does this exact thing that Christ is telling him, Acts 2.38. And Peter said to them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent for the forgiveness of your sins. Peter is practicing what Jesus told him in John 20. That's exactly what we see. So my job as your pastor is to give you grace and truth, not one or the other. You see, it's easy to be all grace in today's society. I mean this, you come to church and it's all spiritual cupcakes and sweet treats and pats on the back and hey, you can live however you want to, you know, it's all fine, it's all covered and you're all good and yeah, go back to sinning the way you did yesterday and the weeks and the years before, it's all fine, brother. That's all grace, that's not Jesus. But the opposite is also true. It can't be all truth and every time you show up, it's just a spiritual kick in the hiney, right? And do better. You're going to hell and all this stuff. It's not that either. It's Jesus is grace and truth. He's the middle of the road. Okay, so according to what we see in scripture, here's what I can say to you. Here's the grace. I'm here to tell you today, as a representative of Jesus Christ, you can be released from the debt and the penalty of your sin if you put your faith in Jesus. That's the grace. You can be free today. You can be released today. Even from the inward bent towards that sin that you always seem to go back to, you can be freed from that today. He's paid for that today. Inside and out, you can be free. That's grace. Here's the truth. I'm also here to tell you today as a representative of Jesus Christ, if your faith is not in Jesus, there can be no forgiveness of sins and there can be no freedom from the penalty that it brings. That's truth. But when you bring those together, how beautiful it is to say, Lord, why would I not choose you? If Jesus is the way, the truth, if he's the only way that I can have access to forgiveness, why would I not choose? If he gives life and life abundantly, why would I not follow him? Here's my prayer, Deuteronomy 30. Here's my prayer for you today. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Look at this. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. I love what he says. Oh, that you would choose life. Choose life today. Why? Why would I choose anything else? And I promise you, when you taste and see how good the Lord is and how good his forgiveness is and how good the freedom is from guilt and condemnation and the enemy trying to bring stuff against you, and you can identify it and say, no, that's not me anymore. Yeah, I used to be addicted, but not anymore. Yeah, I used to be a slave to that, but not anymore. Once you've been there and you've had those moments, I promise you, you never want to go back. All you want is life and life abundantly, and you want to keep walking with your Savior. I promise you of that. Rather than letting the enemy keep you down into a pit of sin and addiction and slave to it, why stay there? When you have a loving Heavenly Father who sent his son Jesus to see you in a pit of sin and him extend his hand to you and say, let me help you out of there. Let me help you out of there. And all the debt that you owed, I'm gonna go ahead and cancel that too. I'm gonna take care of that. Let me show you a path to righteousness and what I have for you. How good is our God? Man, the best benefit of being in the family of God is the forgiveness of all of our sins, because it's what allows me to be in the family of God. It's the open door. It's what allows me to come in. I'm cleansed inside and out. No more, I have a natural bent to be angry and have a quick fuse. Guess what? You can have freedom from that according to scripture. Didn't he say we have freedom from iniquities? That's in here. You can have freedom from that. Well, lust is just something I'm always gonna have to battle against. Well, what if scripture was true and you could have freedom from that today? What if it is true, okay? You can have freedom from it today. He cleansed you inside and out. He chooses to not remember. What a God we serve. He releases us from the debt because of the precious blood of Jesus that has washed us as white as snow. What a God we serve. Oh, that you would choose life today. Not just choose it, walk in it this week. Walk in it this week. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your grace today. Thank you for your word that is truth to us today. Thank you, Lord, that you've seen everything we've ever done. You know what we're gonna do tomorrow, and you know what the future holds, and we trust you with all of it. And God, I pray that today, as we talk about forgiveness, I pray that marriages would be healed today, Lord. I pray that marriages would be restored today. I pray that marriages would find a fresh life in you and by living by your word. Lord, I pray for us as individuals that we would walk in the forgiveness that you've offered us, that you've given it freely. Lord, today we want to receive it. We want to be free from all the things that have tried to hold us back in the past. And Lord, I pray that this week, Lord, as the good shepherd, would you help us hear your voice and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. We don't walk in guilt or condemnation anymore. No, Lord, we say we're going to repent. We're going to change our mind, change our ways so we can walk with you. But we're humble just to be invited into your family because we know we don't deserve it and we know we can't earn it. But Lord, today we receive the free gift of the invitation into your family, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Abide Church podcast. If you'd like to partner with us financially, or if you're in the Tulsa area and would like to attend our weekly gathering, you can check out abidechurch.com.